This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast where we just talk about what we do in our theaters. You got your theater all set up, whether it's a dedicated room or a sound bar that you really like, and you're just looking to experience everything you can from these movies. That's what I'm all about. My name's DJ. Obviously, I love talking this stuff, and I love getting your comments. If you want to join in on the home theater talk, you can tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. I have many conversations going every week now. It's great. I appreciate everything that the listeners are sending my way, whether it's recommendations on what to watch or apps to see or scenes to check out. It's overwhelming, really, and I'm not talking about the volume. I'm talking about I didn't think I'd be where I am right now. I just started this in October, and to get the response that I'm getting from you guys is just awesome. I really appreciate it. It makes it all worth it when you sit down by yourself like this and start talking into a microphone. I really appreciate it. It's great. So with that, let's get to some of the comments from this week. First up, we have Francis Amoko at Boogie236. He says, at Brightside HT, I'm listening to the At HT Guys podcast. I think you got to mention something about a collaboration in the works. Congrats, man. You're taking off. Bring up his woodwork hobby and we might have another 3-hour podcast. You are correct, Francis. Yeah, there is something in the works, maybe sooner than later. Can never guarantee anything with the schedules the way they are. But yes, R and I are working on something. We have a topic. We're both very excited about it. It'll actually play into both of our podcasts. And yeah, I'll bring up his woodwork hobby, see where that goes. I mean, hey, sitting down and talking, can't go wrong. But yes, thank you very much for the shout out and the idea that I'm taking off. It's all because of you guys. It's because of the listeners. That's how these other podcasts are hearing about me. Francis, I think you had a hand in that yourself. I appreciate everything. That's how I grow. It's word of mouth. Obviously, I've said it before, there's $0 in the advertising budget. So it's all word of mouth, and it's all from you guys. I really appreciate it. It's so much fun. The home theater community is small, but it's such a big community, globally. We're talking to people all over the world here, and it's just so much fun. I really appreciate it. And it is. It's going to be fun sitting down with Ara, and I'm just really looking forward to that, getting back, sitting down with the guys from AV Rant, and just, I've got a name for it. I'm working on a name for this, like the sit downs or something, and just create this community, as you guys have named it, this home theater community where we can just have fun and talk about what we do. It's everything that I've, dreamed of, really. So thanks to you guys. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks, Francis. I really appreciate it. The next tweet comes from Graham Cole at Graham B-O-X. I guess that's Graham Bo-X. Graham says, at Brightside HT, just watched Bourne Identity and realized 3/4 of the punch sounds were the generic punch sounds from a keyboard. Kind of ruins the fight scenes for me. And I replied with, great but sad observation. I think as all of our systems and technologies advance, we will be seeing and hearing more and more things that stand out that didn't when they were produced. I said, the bright side is we should be getting better quality moving forward, making things even more immersive. And it's true. It's like I said when I did my Jaws episode a few weeks ago, you could tell like the eye on the shark was drawn on with a Sharpie. It was ridiculous. But back in the 70s, nobody had any chance of ever knowing and having the resolution to be able to tell the difference. And what I mean by with the technology's getting better and us getting a more immersive experience is what we can see and how it's ramped up, they have to be better at it. So the sound designers are getting more creative and creating a more immersive environment for us because they have the technology to do it and they know we have that more discerning ear now. So they're ramping it up. And the same goes for the picture. They know what we can see on the other side. I mean, even when they're just making the movie, they'll see it right there. They're looking at it. They've got better tech than we have. So it's all going to be more beneficial for us. And it's just, that's what makes this hobby so much fun. I mean, I go back to my VHS days and I thought that was fantastic. So 20 years from now, you know, God willing, I'm around for that, but it'll be even that much better. And then Steve George at Legal Beagle OK, he tweeted in reply to last week's podcast, Greyhound. He says, "We'll give it a listen ASAP, Deej. What did you make of Greyhound? I was a little disappointed with the Atmos, to be honest. Felt like a wall of noise at times, not enough heft to the bass for me, and not enough immersion to the mix." And I won't go into the entire conversation, but we actually had a really good conversation about this because what I found out, or I think what we figured out, is it may have been his bandwidth, because he was saying it sounded like a wall of noise and there wasn't enough discrete sounds. And while he was saying this to me, I'm thinking, wow, this, I was watching the movie over at one point when he was tweeting, or I was seeing his tweet, and I was getting great separation. I was getting great distinct sounds, specifically that one where the torpedo comes in on the left side of the screen. I'm like, that's super discreet, because I localized that to the, not only to that side of the screen, but to the top part of the screen. I thought it was that good and, you know, that discreet that I could actually put it to the upper half of the screen. For him to feel like it was a wall of sound, that to me sounds like it's just a, you know, he's getting a bad feed. And that's one of the limitations to streaming. And that's a shame, because sometimes people will think, well, that's a bad move, especially people like us with these nice systems and you're expecting the best. Maybe it's not the actual mix of the movie. It could be a limitation of how you're getting the movie to you when you're streaming like this. Now, a disc, that's a completely different story. You have a Ragnarok, that's just a bad mix. So, I mean, we all know what that is. But that raised an interesting question to me, because I never even thought of that. Never even thought of it as an option. But actually talking to him, and I trust his opinion on stuff, I value his opinion on stuff, and we've differed on a lot of things, but I know I had distinct sound in this, and I've talked to other people as well that thought it was very distinct, and especially Greyhound, that creaky ship type environment. It was very good. And to hear somebody say that they didn't get that with a good system, you know, that was surprising. And, you know, I'm not doubting him at all. As a matter of fact, that makes me think what I just said, like, it's got to be something else. I don't think he's wrong. I think he's right. It's just something else. And it's just another link in the chain of what makes our systems great. And you're only as good as what's being fed to it. And, you know, that's one of the things we have to consider. But then a few days later, Steve tweeted again and he said, "Hey, DJ, just listening to the Greyhound podcast. Does Kello play in Atmos or DTS:X? And that's, I talked about that at the beginning of the Greyhound episode, about that Kello app that John M. talked about. And it's that concert, if you didn't listen to that episode, it's a concert app that you get to watch all of these great concerts, and it sounds phenomenal. I was so excited about it last week, I completely forgot to mention that this only comes through in stereo. So you're going to get this in stereo. The picture's pretty good, but the picture is at the mercy of whatever the source material was. So if you're watching a concert from, like I said last week, like a Springsteen from 75, it's only as good as the source material that they have from 75. Like the Miley Cyrus I was watching, that picture looked really nice because it's more modern. But the sound is only stereo. But when you upconvert it, and I obviously upconverted it to the 11 channels in my room, and it's just insane. It's the crowd comes through where it should come through. And like I said last week, you know, the stage is set for the music. You have piano on one side. You have horns on the other. You have, I mean, it just, I went through it last week. It's just, I was so excited about it. I forgot to mention, you know, how it's broadcast and how you're getting everything. So that's my fault. I apologize. Thanks for asking, Steve. I appreciate it. But that's about it for this week for questions, comments, and everything. It's early in the week. I apologize. If you get to me later, I'll get to you next week. But I'm very excited about this movie. Very excited. I can't stress enough how much I loved this movie. I read the comic book. I will say if you see the movie and there's not enough for you, grab the comic book. It's a quick read. It's in a trade form now. So you get all five or six comic books at once and you just read it front to back. You get a lot more information, but I will say that this is probably one of the most faithful adaptations of a comic. And that has a lot to do with the fact that the writer of the comic is also the writer of the screenplay, Greg Rucka. So it's really good. Let's get to it. Let's play this trailer. It's long, but I love this trailer. I love the soundtrack to this movie. Let's play the trailer and then we'll get into the movie.
Who are you?
You can call me Andy.
I lead a group of soldiers. Fighters, like you. With an extremely rare skill set.
What do you mean?
Mother? Let's just say we're very hard to kill.
You've got questions, kid. You want answers? I have the new one.
And?
I think she has potential. See, you're already healing faster. You're gonna do great.
So you good guys or bad guys?
Depends on the century.
So we really never die.
Just because we keep living doesn't mean we stop burning.
Throughout history, we've protected this world, fighting in the shadows. But it's nearly impossible to disappear in the world we live in today. Would you like me to take one for you?
Oh, thank you so much.
There you go.
Thank you.
These are extraordinary individuals. They are extremely resistant to capture.
They're going to lock us up and weaponize us. But they've never faced an army like ours.
An army of five. Shit, let's start a band.
If we can unlock their genetic code, the entire world will be begging us for the key.
You shouldn't have done that.
We don't have all the answers. But we do have purpose.
I strongly recommend that we leave right now.
Let's move!
Wait for the signal.
How the hell can you even tell? Oh. I'm gonna keep popping fun all night.
As usual, I'll talk spoiler-free first, and then we'll get some popcorn going to let you know that we're getting into spoilers. And first up, spoiler-free, the reason I chose that trailer, I thought it was a good example of the soundtrack in this movie. If you haven't seen this, I thought the soundtrack in this movie is very strong. A lot of good bass notes in the soundtrack, some great songs in there. And again, if you haven't seen the movie, pay attention to the lyrics too, because they really play in to what's going on screen. I kind of like that, especially through the second and third viewing. But let's get to the home theater part. Let's see, the 4K I thought was really good. I have early on in my notes when we get to the spoilers, I have a pretty good example of a 4K picture that I really enjoyed, showed off what they can do even with streaming. I really enjoyed the picture in this. Good dark scenes, good really bright scenes, good contrast. Not like Mandalorian to me. I can't wait for that to come out on disc because I thought that didn't have enough contrast in it. This one isn't the case. Netflix does a really good job with both their sound and their picture with their original content, and I feel like they did a really good job in this one as well. The sound, really strong. Like Netflix, it just, they really know how to do the streaming right. I've had this discussion before. I'm going to be having this discussion again in the future, coming up soon. But I think what Netflix does is they set up set of parameters for people to follow so that they can put out a quality content. That's just a guess on my part. But I thought the Atmos in this had some good bass, had some real good use of surrounds, real good use of overheads. We'll get to that when I get to the scenes. But an overall engaging atmosphere. No scenes like Six Underground here. Nothing as engaging as that 20 minutes of sound and chaos. But there are some very chaotic scenes here, but discreetly used and really, you know, pushes the story along as well. And that gets into the soundtrack too. The score was really good, but the soundtrack and the Atmos was really, really nice here. And this is a movie I would really like to see on disc, because all of those things will be enhanced. I'd like to get a couple of these Netflix originals and be able to see them on disc and see them at the best quality that I can see them, because there are limitations to streaming right now, and it'd be nice to see how good these things can really be. So let's crank up that popcorn maker. Let's get the popcorn popping, and we'll get into some spoilers. So week after week, it seems I'm always talking about the opening scene, because I guess they're just trying to grab you, trying to get your attention. And a lot, especially with streaming services nowadays, that if you're not grabbed right away, you're just flipping to something else. So a lot of these scenes, if they don't grab you right away, they're trying to get you with some good bass or a good picture or something to get you to be, oh, okay, I'm going to watch this. And a lot, all these discs, I'm noticing I'm putting opening scene, pretty cool, this, that, or the other thing. And this week is no exception. Nice bass notes in this opening scene, and as the motorcycle that Booker is riding going through the city alleyways, because they're not really streets, you really get that sense. It was a great job of sound, of getting that sound to reverberate around like a narrow area. And then when he'd go through a tunnel, the room sound would change, like you're in that tunnel with them. I thought that was a really cool way to use the sound early on in the movie. And the picture, I thought, was really, they open up this movie with them almost like a flashback, but you don't know it's a flashback. And they're laying on the floor, and it's a dark bluish scene, and it's very crisp. The dark scenes are really dark. The blacks are really deep here, and you can see like their irises, their eyes, all the detail is there. And I thought that was, at first it's a cool scene. I have read the comics, so I knew that scene anyways. But then when you contrast that with the smoky streets of, and I mean smoky as in atmospheric, like perception, I guess, of Morocco, and it's hot. It's more reddish. It's a much warmer color than the previous scene of just them in the cold room, cold as in color, that is. But the crystal clear picture of them laying on the floor to the heat that you can just feel, and you can see it in the air of Morocco, the contrast of those two scenes really showed off what they're capable of and what they're doing with the 4K in this picture. And I felt that there was too much of that in, like, say, Solo. a movie I wasn't crazy about the 4K picture in, because it was too much of that atmosphere. It was too blended. But when you contrast it like that, it really brings it out for you, and it gives you that feel of the heat of Morocco. Going to 6 minutes and 2 seconds, we have nice use of overheads with the thunder cracking over your head, and then transitioning into the busy streets. The sound transitions to the busy streets with even a little bit of rain thrown in. You can see the rain. You can hear just a little bit, a touch of rain. But when that thunder cracked, it was really nice use of bass and a really nice use of the overheads. You could hear it right over your head. It was really nice. At 8 minutes and 30 seconds, real nice low frequency effects here. That's how it felt to me. It was a helicopter landing, and the thumps that you're feeling, the room was vibrating, seat shaking, and the room is just filling with the sound of the wind. But just the overall feel, it felt like you were right there, and it felt like that wind was hitting you in the chest. It was really, really nice, really smooth. Very impressive for a streaming service. At 12 minutes and 15 seconds, this is the opening scene, but this is it. You're going to see everything happen here, and I labeled it the kill box. Really quiet leading up to this. They get into the room. They realize they've been double-crossed. Very quiet, and then all of a sudden, great, distinct gunshots. And because they're in that room, the echoes. So you have the distinct gunshots, but then you're hearing the echoes from the gunshots around your room, like you're in this room. You know, so for my dedicated theater, it turned this place. I was in this room with them, and it really, you know, the echoes were really nice. The distinct sounds contrasting that, really loud with nice, good, crisp bass. And then right after the team that shot them yells room clear, you get a really quiet, quiet scene. And at reference level, turning this thing all the way up, you can hear them healing. And it's really, you know, really quiet. You hear them healing, so you know what's about to come. Then all the chaos with the swordplay, gunfire, the swing when Andy finally breaks out her axe. It's that, I mean, that was really nice, that high pitched, but going on with all of everything that's happening in that room, and you have echoes, you have gunfire, but all, you know, it, a lot going on. Really, really nicely done here. It was really fun to watch and to listen around the room. Really quick one here at 28:50 for bass. This was really nice. Room shaking bass here. The whole room shook. It's when they show you the Merrick building for the first time, and just the boom through the room and the presentation. It was just, I had to make a note. It was just so strong. This scene here at 30 minutes and 5 seconds, I thought was just a fun scene. It was kind of cool. So they're walking around the barracks, and Niall, who is the newest member of this team, of the old guard team, she's walking around the barracks, and you're hearing all the ambient sounds. You're hearing like helicopters flying overhead. Great use of overheads here. This scene has a great use of everything going on in your room. Every speaker in your room will be in use here. So the helicopters are going off overhead. You hear, you know, chatter and people all around the barracks, just, I guess, normal barracks sounds. And then you'll hear even jets fly over. Tons of ambient sounds going on. And then to quiet these sounds, Niles puts headphones in. And I don't know what the name of the song is, but it's like, I'll Always Love You. And it's not the Whitney Houston song. But you hear the song playing, but it drowns everything else out. A really cool effect, how you went right into her head, like just drowning everything out, all the other noises, and she just wanted to listen to her music. It was a really cool effect. I really liked how they did that. I feel like if you weren't in a room, like if you're watching this movie on like a laptop with headphones, you would just feel like you're listening to the song through headphones, just like she is. It doesn't give you the same effect as being in a theater and actually experiencing the outside world, and then all of a sudden it just gets shut off. It was pretty cool. At 36:40, we have the takeoff in this clunky old prop plane, and it's Andy and Niall taking off, and you can just hear all the tin can sounds, like they're, you know, like they're taking off in an old soda can, and just everything's clanking, and it was actually kind of scary because it sounded like my room was clanking. Like there were things creaking and making vibration noises, kind of like if you don't have everything secured in your room and you hit a good bass sound and things vibrate in your room. Well, things sounded like they were vibrating in my room, but it wasn't from bass or anything. It was from the speakers. It was actually making it sound like things were going to fall off the shelves when the bass wasn't that heavy. It wasn't the bass that was causing it. It was really, really cool. And it was like made me look around the room a bit. Then at 40:30, we have Andy and Niall face off and have their little fight inside that plane. So you have all of that going on. But the score is the story here. The score really sets the scene here, sets the tone. There's real nice bass, real nice punches too in the score. Plus you have the punches being thrown. And then when you get towards the end of this scene and Andy has had enough and she wants to end it, and she ends up just letting Niall break her own arms and legs by trying to hit her. And you can hear the bone crunching, and then it just, oh, it was gruesome. And then you can hear her healing as well. It's pretty gruesome scene. Most of the scenes in this, when it comes to the carnage, are pretty gruesome. They didn't hold anything back, which was really nice to see. At 43:40, we have why, is how I labeled it, because Andy takes Niles to this hideout type place, and they just walk in, and it's a nice little, like, not a jump scene at all, but it's a nice little surprise to us, because Niles says to Andy, like, why is this place abandoned? And right when she says why, it's like all of a sudden you just hear right over your head a jet, like a jumbo jet, flies over your head. So they're just off the side of an airport or something, and nobody wants to be there because it's too loud. So, but you get to experience it, and it was pretty cool. And the rest of the scene going forward, you have that while they're talking and stuff around the dinner table and everything. You'll just hear the overhead. But the initial one was really nice bass, overhead bass, really good rumble to the room. Could really feel it. It was really nice. And then you get more of that room creaking around the dinner table too, which again is not from the bass. They're actually putting it out through the speakers. I know that because I have everything secured down in my room. My kitchen, on the other hand, not so much. My wife tells me when I hit a bass heavy scene, the dishes rattle, so, but I can't hear it. At 50 minutes and 30 seconds, I call this Gwen's fate, and this is where they finally separate Gwen and Andy, and they put her into that standing casket. And just the bass in this scene and the score of it, how they just everything leading up to that is very powerful in the room. Over, you know, the sound is just overwhelming in the room right up until they close the door on Andy and she has to watch, you know, she's yelling no. And it's very, very sad scene. But this is one of those scenes that has nothing to do with sound effects or anything like that. It's just how the score can manipulate your emotions. And I thought they did a really good job with it here in this scene. At 56 minutes and 30 seconds, this is basically Andy's coming out time, where she just shows you she knows how to fight. And it's great soundtrack here, great bass. It's a lot of fun action with sounds all around the room as the scene progresses to Andy's, quote, signal. But she just goes out and takes out all of these bad guys one by one. And it's just the difference between the quiet scenes and then all of a sudden it ramps up. It was just a really, really fun scene. At 1 hour, 22 minutes and 15 seconds, the overhead score here was really, really cool. They did this thing and it's right over your head. I actually got up and listened to my speakers on this one, and the sound was bouncing back and forth across the over your head from left to right or right to left, back and forth. And there was this clicking noise in the score that went from side to side. but it was all over your head, and it was really, really cool, really brought you into this scene. And it, I mean, you're watching the movie, but it made you, you know, kind of look up over your head. It was pretty cool. At 1 hour, 33 minutes and 5 seconds, this is my reference scene for the movie. This one here, I thought was, you know what's going to happen. You know what's coming. You know, Niles coming in, she's going to rescue the team, and she's got her hand behind her back. It's quiet. They're telling her what to do. Show your hands, do this, do that. But they're setting up the scene, and then all of a sudden she pulls her hand out, and the two shots that go off, so crisp. But then that goes right into the soundtrack, which is really nice. I think the song I'm going down fighting, I think was the soundtrack at the time. But when she heals, then gets up, and it's just awesome gunshots with real awesome bass. It was room enveloping, but not in the way that it's like just like overwhelming, but it was like every speaker in the room was being engaged at one point or the other. And it was real. It was just nice and clean, but room enveloping, if that makes any kind of sense. It's just a really strong scene to me. The whole scene lasts about 5 minutes as she progresses into their escape. And it's just a great group of scenes, especially for a streaming service. At this point in the movie, you forget you're watching a Netflix movie and that this is all streaming. And it's at times like this, I go, oh, imagine this on disc, because I think on disc, the picture would be just that much sharper and the bass would be that much deeper. The surrounds would be a little bit crisper. And at times in this movie, you can't even imagine it being that much better, but you know it can be. At 1 hour, 43 minutes, Andy saying, I go first. This is where they go into the room, pretty much ends the movie. Or sets up the last fight of the movie. And it's just more distinct gunfire here. Real bassy score. And then at 1 hour, 46 minutes and 10 seconds, play dead MFers. And it's a couple of nice gunshots. And it's really cool. The score was bouncing back and forth, gradually building to Niall grabbing Merrick and diving out the window. So you have the sound of that, but then listen closely on this and you can hear Niall scream the whole way down because she's not sure what's going to happen, but she's yelling, she's screaming shit, you know, all the way down to the ground. And then you have the really nice thump, I'll call it. It wasn't a big boom, but, you know, they landed on a car. So you have all the glass shattering, but you had a nice thump of her hitting that car with a, you know, a decent boom in it. It wasn't overly, it was probably more realistic to what it would sound like on two bodies landing on the roof of a car. And that's all I have. That's all I have for scenes. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I can't stress that enough. I love the books. I really enjoyed the movie. I'm lucky enough. I get to talk about it with John. That podcast will be out on Monday on the Bright Side Chat. We do a deep dive on that. We get into all of the, you know, how it compares to the books and everything like that. But I'm hoping for a few sequels out of this because I know they, I mean, there's so much they could expand on here. Obviously there's already another, if you don't know already, there's another series of books. This movie was based on a 5-arc series of comic books. There's already a second series that came out. Actually, the fifth just came out this week. And that series, I thought, was just as strong as the first one. Greg Rucka wrote the comic, and he was also the screenwriter for this. So he's also writing the second season or the second movie or whatever. So I'm really excited for whatever comes next for this. But let me know what you thought. You could tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. We are proud members of the Nerdy Legion. You can check out all the other great podcasts there at nerdylegion.com. Like I mentioned before, the Bright Side Chat, the comic book podcast that I do over there. And if you get a chance, please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. Could use some more 5-star reviews. And tell your friends. Tell your friends that love home theater. This is where we talk about what we do in our theaters and the movies we watch and the things we do and the fun we have once the system is set up. So that's it for this week. All things going well. I have a pretty exciting week set up for next week. Hopefully all plans come together. We'll see. But until then, have a great week, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and go push play. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.